All right, so you hear the music. This would be Phil Whitfield's amazing cover of the Ask an Atheist theme. And we're using it as sort of the unofficial intro to the unofficial segment of the show that we call This Week in the Best Words. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. That's our voicemail number, toll-free, nationwide, and into other places as well, because it's a toll-free number and whatever.
If you want to call from Jupiter, we'll let you.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, we've taken calls from outside of the country. That's happened. You can kind of tell that I spent some time in Chicago because they unveiled the new area codes for the Pacific North or for the Seattle area.
Did they?
Yeah. And I saw the numbers and it was by county and I thought they were like murder numbers for the year. like, oh, that's crap. Like, are those murder numbers? Because those are area codes. So like, oh.
Now, is there something in the rules about area codes that there are certain numbers can't be in certain places?
Well, so those are totally out of the running now because one of the area codes here starts with one.
Which I'm just going to say, yeah. Who's going to have 420 as an area code? That's all I care about. I want a 420 number.
Humboldt County. This is Ask an Atheist. Da, 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 da. So joining me this week is Dave. How are you?
I promise it's me. It may not sound like me, but it is really me. I swear I'm not going through puberty. I've been fighting a cold, but.
Oh, okay. Well, you sound fine.
Thank you.
And joining us for the first time in a bit is Casey. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. I've got spare time now. I want to come back into the fold, into Sam Mulvey's fold.
And let's not think about that. Let's just.
I didn't say fold.
Dude, I'm not that
capital
fat.
Capital F, the royal fold.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. It's awesome to be here. Thanks for having me, Sam.
Hey, no problem. New York federal prosecutor Preet Bharara tweeted this weekend that he was fired after refusing to resign at the request of Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Donald Trump and Jeff Sessions allegedly had assured Bharara last year that they wanted him to remain in his job, but Bharara was among the dozens of Obama appointees that were asked to resign. A Trump spokeswoman stated that the resignation requests and firings were to ensure a uniform transition between presidential administrations. Bharara is well known for aggressively prosecuting public officials for corruption and insider trading, earning him support from Republicans eager to drain the swamp, and from Democrats as well.
Is this the most cynical, naked take you can have on this? Is are they clearing out the people who might be energized to be somewhat independent to provide a check on their legislation and their agenda? I mean, that would be like the you know, poli-sci 101 reading that's here. And I can only imagine, you know, is it just a New York thing? Like the New York attorney generals are like the Spitzers are usually the ones who are the ass kickers.
Right.
They really are usually the ones that are taking down the big guys that can actually show how you can take someone in power or very wealthy and influential and bring them down to their knees. So right. It seems to me that this is also very symbolic too.
I also wonder if this is something that would not be so terrible in a different administration where they were up to date on their appointments.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah, they're having trouble there.
Yeah, okay. Having a little trouble.
Yep. See, I feel like you're definitely giving them more credit in the idea that they're just going after the specific people that might be a danger to them. I think they're going for like a cult-like uniformity. Anyone who's not our people needs to go.
Well, I mean,
even though we promised that we'd keep some people, we don't actually want to keep some people. We need to find our people in every position we can possibly get.
So well, there's 47 of them, right?
Right.
There's 47 that they asked to resign. Now, is that one per state, or is that the numbers don't map to this person from New York, this person from Illinois, this person from blah, blah, blah?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to look.
I'd be interested to know how clean they want to swipe it. I don't know.
Well, the other side of this, the part that, I never, ever wanted to utter the phrase drain the swamp on this show ever. it's not a phrase I would use. It's not anything worthwhile. The other thing is, this is somebody who's known for going after corrupt politicians.
Yeah.
And so everybody's glad he's leaving.
Right.
Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah, I guess...
Just let that one sink in for a
minute. I'm guessing it was a big favor. It was a big favor to some people. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, you don't have, I don't think you have to reach too far down in the real-life conspiracy grab bag to find like a real politic motivation for it at all.
Right. Yeah. Real politic meaning corrupt politic in this case.
Yeah.
Yeah. The fact of the matter is once again, it just seems like the Democratic Party, who's trying to position themselves as the savior to carry us away from the Trump era, doesn't seem to have recognized anything.
I don't know. I mean, what can be said? Like Wittgenstein said, some things we just have to pass over in silence. Because they're an enigma right now. The Democrats are seriously an enigma.
No, an enigma would suggest that there's some intelligence there, and I'm not yet convinced that there's real intelligence going on. I mean, I understand, you know, when you run for president and you're done, you go to, you know, you get sold to a farm upstate where Hillary Clinton is very happy.
They make glue out of you.
So she, you know, we're not going to hear from her very much. No. They gave Bernie Sanders captain of the little kids table. And they seem to be treating him that way. And it's like, they're trying to say that the political realities have changed and they're going to be doing different things going forward. And they're going to be the front line for, you know, taking down this administration. But they're acting just like the Democratic Party has acted pretty much since the turn of the century, minus 2008.
Yeah. And it of course, it's just this is all going to be amplified by the fact that, as I've said over and over again, not unlike 2008, they get to, now the Republicans get to be masters of the universe for 2 years. And so Republicans who might be uncomfortable with the type of messaging that this particular executive is showing are keeping their heads down.
I don't know that I want to think of Jeff Sessions in a thong and a hard vest pulling a sword and riding a cat.
You've lost me. I'm too
Masters of the Universe.
Oh, I see. I see.
Come on. You know you want to see Jeff Sessions with a page boy cut.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I just wanted to drop the F-bomb there, but I know that I've got to restrain it. Normally, Sam, when I'm sitting across the table from you, we just let it flow.
Yeah.
But for you gentle listeners.
The anger must flow.
Yes.
I've recently had to ban Trump impersonations in my house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's too easy. It's like an Arnold impersonation.
Everybody tries it. Yep. And it's all terrible. Please stop. It hurts.
Please.
One, it's Please a bad stop. Impression. Two, it's a guy I don't want to hear. I go out of my way not to listen to this guy.
This is the sort of thing, through W. Bush's presidency, I kept finding that people around me, of course I was in L.A. at the time, so you have no shortage of anti-W bumper stickers and whatnot. Right. I felt at a certain point in time that, like, well, if you oppose what he stands for, don't put his face and his name on the things around you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it.
Right.
Like, that's just feeding the beast.
Well, it was weird how everybody's George W. Bush impression just sounded like them with a mild hangover. I mean, I know what your impression is because I've seen you the morning after a party.
That says more about the man than the person doing the
quite
impression.
Possibly. And then you had the George W. Bush singers, and there was at least there was something. He wasn't so much malevolent as he was daffy. It was the I think is the way I would describe it. I mean, yeah, okay, he's the guy who you know, took us into a war that we didn't need and one that we probably didn't need and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You can go on and on. But his media appearance was daffy, I think. He's a little bit weird, a little bit slow, a little bit choking on pretzels.
I always felt that was the best defense mechanism that he could possibly have, and one that Trump, I think, is emulating, which is...
I don't think he's emulating it very well. That's where I was going to bring it, is people see a lot of malevolence in Donald Trump, especially with his idiosyncratic way of speaking.
I think, really, I'll take that back. I think he more seems to be channeling a Reagan-esque pre-Alzheimer's confusion, because
pre-Alzheimer's is a bit of an assumption there, my friend.
Well, look at it this way. I mean, yes, of course, it's utter speculation. There was a CNN report where he's sitting at a long table and one of his agendas on the Muslim ban, and he's saying, "Oh, I've made my good friend Rudy Giuliani his point on this. Where's Rudy?" And he kind of puts his arm to the guy to his right, to his left, looks around. And then Rudy Giuliani starts talking, and he's off camera. The camera zooms back, and you see the back of Rudy Giuliani's head. He's sitting right across the table from Trump. Like, Trump was unable to see the person who he was talking to when they were sitting literally across the table from him.
I think that might be Trump just assuming that he's on his side and they're a gang, and so that his boys are going to be behind him.
I think there's a good deal of confusion.
There's a good deal
of confusion with this is mere speculation. I just know that, like, he clearly doesn't make cogent arguments. He clearly doesn't take seriously the idea that we should have reasons that make sense for things. So this is constantly going to be a thing we will have to, people who care about, about arguments, is that you have to be able to create an argument, create a syllogism, and defend it. And he's doing his level best to tear that down.
And Dave, have you had anybody Trump at you yet?
The thing is, we have a standard rule at work: no politics.
Okay.
Like, anytime it comes up, you'll have five people shouting at you: no politics, nope, stop.
Yeah.
And so because of that, I am so exhausted by the news cycle that I just don't take too much part in it anymore. And so,
well, you don't need to take part in. Yeah, you're taking this in a direction I don't mean. I'm not saying do you hear Trump a lot? I'm saying, do people come up to you and make Trump noises at you?
Well, and it's because
you got Trump.
I just don't spend a lot of time with people anymore, honestly, except for at work, and there's no politics. So no, it actually doesn't really up anymore.
You mean strangers don't come up to you on the street and try to?
I had one way to bring you into this conversation, and you just threw it in the garbage.
Yeah.
See what you do there? The one thing that is common in all of these impressions is the final adjective.
Yes.
You know.
Sad.
Yeah. Sad.
Bad.
Sick.
Yeah. That must have been born wholly out of the fact that I've got five characters left on this tweet.
Plaid.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it's a thing where he's the boss. He's the guy in charge, and his opinion matters. And so he summarizes his opinion as a way to chastise people. Yeah. I literally think it's a how to win friends and influence people level management tactic.
Maybe he doesn't know. It's kind of like there's the episode of Hercules where Kevin Sorbo just shouts out, "Disappointed!
Disappointed!"
Which wasn't actually a line in the script. It was a stage direction. And so maybe that's what Trump is doing. He's reading his stage directions as well as his lines.
Kevin Sorbo.
What was the Mel Gibson one in Signs? I'm insane with anger, or something like that. Donald Trump's Secretary of Health and Human Services, Tom Price, has asserted that nobody will be worse off financially under the new health care bill proposed by Republicans. However, an estimated 15 million people would lose coverage under the retirement plan, according to analysis from the Brookings Institution. The American Association for Retired Persons, which was strongly opposed to the bill, revealed that a 64-year-old making $15,000 would have to spend more than 56% of their income on an insurance plan purchased on the individual market. The American Medical Association, the American Hospital Association, and the Federation of American Hospitals all oppose this bill as well, including somebody else that you noticed on Twitter, Dave.
This was fascinating. I want to find this because I actually do want to get this word.
You know,
for
I love how they repealed Obamacare, or failed to repeal Obamacare, like 73 million times or something like that in the last 4 years. And Trump wins. They get to do this thing. And now it's their time in the sun, right? And they lose. It's like, well, we've got this replacement somewhere. And they lose it. They had like one copy in the house, and they lost it. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get a fake copy of the congressional letterhead and just have it lol JK on it. It's like, I thought they lost it. I thought, wouldn't it just be fantastic if it just disappeared to go, we have a replacement for Obamacare, but Trump ate it.
This, president, the, president peed on our homework.
It's just the, it's just the thing where
I'm
it's
not
like,
touching that one.
I think this is. I think they're definitely in a tight spot, right? They've been staking the Republicans have been staking their reputation on what's the one thing that we're gonna do?
Yeah,
repeal Obamacare. So they are kind of damned if they do, damned if they don't. It looks like if they are going to pass this this replacement, which I don't know if it will survive the Senate, who knows?
Yeah.
They're basically just eliminating some of the more hot button issue things, like of course the mandate.
Yeah.
But they're basically doing Obamacare light, right? And if they fail to do it, then they will have failed to do the one thing that they said that they wanted to do.
Well,
so there really are, and yeah. Go ahead.
No, I really want to hear this tweet.
Okay. Well, there's this Twitter conversation going around the internet that cracks me up. It's a guy named Charles C.W. Cook said, "I have yet to read a single positive analysis of the House's Obamacare bill."
Yes.
And then yes. Someone responded, "Try going to a conservative source. Open up your reading habits to include those whom you would naturally dismiss." To which Mr. Cook responded, "I'm the editor of the National Review Online."
Yes.
This is a guy who's well-versed in conservative politics.
Yeah. Maybe not so, yeah, they're saying not so, a little erudite for, not Fox News enough, perhaps.
Breitbart enough.
Not Breitbart enough.
InfoWars, maybe.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Are InfoWars and Prison Planet the same?
Yeah, the same people. Okay. Yeah.
Carry on.
I think you're right, though. It's, when it was political posturing, it worked out. Now they actually have to deliver on it. And they have to deliver on something that appeals to their base, because that is how politics is done in the United States on both sides now.
Right.
And so they come up with this plan that doesn't work, and I don't think it's going to pass. There goes Obamacare. Likely, but I'm not sanguine on it, because I expected something a lot like this to happen, where... there's enough success stories, and there's a lot of people who are saying, "Well, I hate that Obamacare, but man, I don't know what I would do without that Affordable Care Act." And that sounds like a joke,
right?
But it's happening again and again and again, and we're hearing more and more stories about it.
Yeah.
Whether or not that's a lot of message control, whatever. But I know personally a ton of people here in Washington State, you know, which does well financially, and you think they'd all have, you know, health care would be easy to get around here. But no, there's a lot of people out here without health care, or at least who didn't have it before the ACA, and now they've got it. Now, you know, they still have a financial future if they get a disease. They still could possibly live if they get cancer, things like that, that weren't necessarily possible without the ACA.
Mm-hmm.
So now they got to put their money where their mouth is, but there's so many success stories. It might work out better for them to not do anything about it.
Right. Yeah, well, and if they do, well, I mean, if they do implement it, I mean, just basically take the numbers that AARP study that had, which was, oh, if you're a like a 60-year-old making, fixed income $15,000, that's their core voter. Those are the people who will be livid when it comes time for midterms.
Yeah.
So they will lose in that way too. If they win by passing their replacement, they will lose that way heavily.
Well, and I feel like they knew this from the beginning. I wish I could name the person. There was some congressman when they were first debating the Affordable Care Act who was trying to say, like, this will destroy our insurance industry, and if we ever let it get passed, then so many people will love it that we'll never get rid of it.
Yeah.
And the cognitive dissonance of that, yes. Like, we have to stop this because too many people will like it and we won't be able to get rid of it. Like, that makes no sense
That is 100% in line with sort of the way Paul Ryan's sort of ideological bent, which is that, you know, poor people are poor because they don't work hard enough and because they don't try hard enough. Not that poverty is a cycle and that there are institutional reasons for it. It's totally in line with that thing of like, we shouldn't have government give people things that they want and need, because then they'll need them. You know, it's this bizarre tautology that is part and parcel of their platform. Platform.
What I do like is the fact that nobody wants their name attached to this at all. I find that amusing.
It's not Rand Care. Trump Care.
Yeah, somebody wanted to be.
You know, they're gonna like call it Warren Care or something to try and like smear.
Yeah, it was gonna
Warren
be. It was gonna be Trump Care. Trump doesn't want his name attached to it. It was gonna be Ryan Care. Ryan doesn't want his name attached.
Wasn't
it to
gonna
it.
Be the world's greatest health plan? I thought that was. Trump floated that.
Nobody likes this. Nobody likes this plan at all because it doesn't really. It doesn't really serve the needs that the ACA covers. There are more effective ways to give rich people tax cuts than through this method, and there are success stories that they didn't have before, and nobody liked pre-existing conditions, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of people were scared about it, and I am, and to say that I'm not scared about it myself is a lie. You know, it's like there's a lot of people who depend on the ACA who would lose their insurance if it went away, and just wouldn't be able to afford it. But the nature of politics as they are now and the sort of the transparent hackery that goes on at the federal level.
Transparent is right.
I gave it odds that we would probably see Obamacare extend at least into the first 4 years of Trump. Assuming he goes 4 years. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about soda, I guess.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Dorn. And we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month, we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is the United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio Versus the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
Billy! I am the Queen of England. You must give me your lunch money.
Why?
Because it'll explode.
I don't know.
I'm the Queen of England. I know things.
Well, that makes sense. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because an authority says it doesn't make it true. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I'm melting!
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And before we get into non-political stuff, have you noticed the number of bills that are trying to be passed by Democrats right now that have Trump as the acronym?
What?
Yeah.
Oh,
man. Come on, guys.
I don't have it in my notes, but I was just thinking about it. Is that they're trying to do, like, there's, like, one bill that's regarding, you know, releasing his taxes, that if you're the president, your taxes get released. And they're all naming these bills after Trump. But I'm like, come on, how many Trump bills are we going to have?
This is one of the things that's kind of frustrating about politics is that...
Only one?
Well, it's one of many, but it's the Republicans are so much better at this sort of gamesmanship. And so when the Democrats try and do it, it's just kind of pathetic.
The Democrats are bad at it, I agree. But I disagree that the Republicans are good at it. I mean, let's talk about what we talked about last segment, where they started out with Obamacare as a joke. Aha, it's Obamacare. It's going to fail, and we're going to attach his name to it. And he's like, fine.
Yeah.
Go for it. And several months into the Trump presidency, and we're still talking about Obama a lot because that's what we're fighting. I mean, that's pretty good marketing for Obama, I should think.
I just think Trump should not have a long legacy. So don't try to name things after him. Please don't paint him and his
orange
hair on the side of the building.
We'll be talking about this guy a century from now.
Well, I was thinking.
I don't want any legislation named after him. I don't want any monuments named after him. You know what I mean? I want him to be the.
There's a lot of stuff named after him already, my friend.
Ulysses S. Grant, you know?
Yeah.
Because he's on the hunt.
I was just thinking one of the ones the Republicans actually did manage really well, which is annoying. It's the uniting and strengthening America by providing appropriate tools required to intercept and obstruct terrorism act of 2001, also known as the U.S. Patriot Act.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it was such a... It was a marketing move, and it was, you know, when you take yourself out of the sort of context of it, it was a brilliant move because, yeah. You know, in 2001, you cannot be against the Patriot Act. What's wrong with you?
Well, you can.
You can.
Everybody's going to hate you.
Exactly.
Ask me how I know.
Well, you can if you know what it means, but that's the whole point of pulling games like this is to make it so people don't pay attention.
You know who's the worst at this, though? NASA.
Oh,
yeah. Can we just make a general rule where acronyms can't spell things anymore? Does anybody remember the halcyon days of PCMCIA?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're just or SCSI.
Didn't Stephen Colbert in his one of his quests to associate himself with the space program in some way, they were already going to put up a treadmill for the people in the space station, and they had you should look it up. They had the acronym, it's called the Colbert. It's the C-O-L-L-B-E-R-T, and it's it's like so highfalutin, it's ridiculous. But the treadmill, this space treadmill is called the Colbert.
Well, and actually, I remember that because it was actually they were going to put an entire new wing or section on.
It was a space closet.
Yeah, and they were going to. They had an online name, and he had his viewers go in and crash the poll for what to name it.
Is that kind of like what is it? Was it Bodie McBoatface? Isn't that one of the
exactly same Bodie sort McBoatface. Of thing?
Don't give the keys to the shop to the internet, people.
Roll with it.
Yeah,
name it Bodie McBoatface. Come on, what's it to you?
So. NASA, as a sort of compromise, they weren't going to name the entire wing of the ISS the Colbert, but they do have
the whole closet.
The Combined Operational Load-Bearing External Resistance Treadmill, or the Colbert.
Canada
arm. And that's a joke. It's a joke.
The Canada arm.
Canada arm.
Do they still have that on their five? Was it on their $5?
I don't think it. No, the Canada arm five was a limited edition, I thought. Canada Arm was a rule set within the Ask an Atheist editorial policy where we wouldn't name shows with atheism in it, and I called it the Canada Arm rule because when you're 12 years old and you have your ham radio license and the shuttle is up, the best thing ever to do is listen to the local 2-meter repeater where they broadcast the shuttle comms. And then they got your NASA play-by-play guy, your NASA color commentator, and every time Canada Arm was in use, which, you know, during the ISS construction was a lot, you know, where the Canada Arm would come out, because that's how you build stuff in space if you're the space shuttle, and it was like, Canada Arm, the Canadian arm built by Canadians in Canada for the purposes of Canadian space program, for the glory of the Dominion! And it was just, they had this pat down every freaking time they used Canada Arm. And so I called it the Canada Arm rule. Don't mention atheism in the show title because the show was called Ask an Atheist. And you know, I joke about it, but Canada Arm was kind of awesome, especially the Canada Arm 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Are we not supposed to be talking about atheism today?
No, we are.
I have been on in a long time. I don't think I'm an atheist anymore.
Really?
What?
No, I mean, I suppose I'm an atheist.
Yeah.
I just...
Excuse me while I throw the notes away.
Just bombshell.
We were just talking before the show about... If there was a theist infiltrating your atheist organization, what would be the test?
Oh.
What would be the Gome Jabbar to the neck? That would... how you would ferret out the people who aren't worthy? Don't know what it is. No, I think... I'm many things. I'm a coward. I'm a charlatan.
Yeah.
I think, though...
Are you a midnight toker?
I was going to say, yes, like Steve Miller song.
That's another thing. I think I'm more an anti-orthodox than anything else at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's because, you know, the limits of what we can, there's no limits of what we can talk about with atheism and theism. However, it seems to be, and rightfully, very narrow, and this is why, since last I've been on your show, now Sam Mulvey talks about politics on his show.
Yeah, I guess you haven't been around for that.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to say that, yes, of course, this is an Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey, but also it's more about, I don't know, reason
and
the insanity of when apparently meaning fails, actual truth fails.
For those of you who haven't been around for the whole life cycle of Ask an Atheist, so Dave.
Dave's hi. Newborn. Newborn Dave.
Casey was one of the initial producers of the show. It was Mike Gillis, Casey Dorn, Jeremy Whitman, and myself as actually something of a junior partner.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
That was a very long time ago. It was 7 years ago now. Yeah. It's like I said, I'm like a older podcast now. it's like well, Jim Bohannon has been doing his soporific bit for like 70,000 years, and I'm an old dude podcaster now. I was a little surprised.
Well,
by
you've evolved though. I guess this is the point of saying that we've definitely evolved because the show. The show has so far not touched upon the subject of religion again. I wanted to bring something in so if we haven't closed the door on the healthcare thing.
Sure, go for it.
Because one of the things, so Ryan is the guy who has to be the spokesperson for the Obamacare replacement.
Mm-hmm.
And he just announced that he wanted to, because part and parcel of this is their opposition to Planned Parenthood as a bugbear.
Yeah.
As a gadfly for the conservatives.
Yeah.
Ryan specifically wants to divert money from the federal funding for Planned Parenthood to what are called federal qualified health centers. They're
right.
Called FQHCs.
There, that's a good acronym.
doesn't spell anything. It doesn't say anything.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. If it says spells anything, we can't say it on the air.
But I mean, so this is critical because this cuts across the ideological part. FQHCs can be run by a Catholic organization, so they can discriminate based on religion.
Yeah.
So you know, it's like a faith-based initiatives with George W. Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Part of their purpose now is to serve those constituencies that help sort of coddle the evangelical right, and start funneling taxpayer money into away from good things like contraception, for God's sake.
I don't know that we're avoiding it intentionally, but I know that we're doing a conversation coming up where we talk about the method and the madness in how they're approaching Planned Parenthood since the first of the year. But you haven't been here, so we did this episode that was about the Cubs.
Yeah.
Which just, you know, blew the lid off Ask an Atheist. And then the very next week, like, this big political thing happens. It was, I don't really remember what it was now. But the thing changed and everybody was like, you need to, like, literally the little bubble that I live in here, it was like, Sam, you need to start talking about politics. You need to be saying this stuff.
The your listeners are deprived of the fact that most of the people on the planet don't get to sit in Sam's living room after we've done recording something our podcasts and realize that it's just this free-for-all space of people venting themselves, of very well-spoken, intelligent
this
people.
This is getting disgustingly complimentary.
Yeah, well, no. Okay. Well, this is terrible. This show is terrible.
Sam, you're a terrible person.
I like where you've taken it. I like being on here to talk about it, and it's certainly becoming more important that we expand the scope of what we're talking about than just, you know, the Westboro Baptist Church is full of trolls.
I've actually got some interactions on this that we should talk about.
Let's do it.
And the first is actually Peggy's challenge. I'd like to thank Jared from the internet and Darren from London, who writes, been listening to you guys for nearly 7 years and you should have done this a lot sooner. Hope this helps a bit. Signed, an Australian in London who knows far too much about U.S. politics, thanks to your show.
Oh, nice.
Wow. Nice.
I don't know whether to thank him or apologize to him.
Yes. Thank you. Sorry. Peggy's challenge is the challenge to listeners of Ask an Atheist to help us keep the lights on. Every dollar you give goes directly to the show. You can go to askanatheist.tv, click on the yellow button on the right-hand side, takes you to our PayPal page. I'd also like to thank Colin for being my newest patron on my Patreon, a thing that I am doing that I don't have a pat presentation for yet, so actually my lack of anything to say useful on it is now my presentation. That's my shtick. So thank you for helping out on the Patreon. We've had some cutting room floor material that's going on the Patreon.
Nice.
I'm actually thinking I've got a raw mix room mic from last week's episode, the musical episode, which I'm thinking about putting on the Patreon just so you can get an idea of what the mix was. I'm still thinking about that when I need to talk to Shelly about it.
Cool.
and just a whole bunch of other stuff. And once I finally move into this freaking house, I'll be able to start on a bunch of new podcast projects I've got going on.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be glorious. Moby International Studios.
Yes.
Will rise again.
The Waveform Orchards, in fact.
Waveform Orchards, yes.
I'm not sure if I'm going plural or singular on Orchard. Either Waveform Orchard or Waveform Orchards.
Listen to the end of my show. I say something. We could.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, actually, whatever you decided is what we're going with. And that's an announcement that isn't ready yet. But I also have an email. This is Dean from cyberspace, not the internet, who writes, "Hey Sam, I'm shocked and appalled. You've had so little feedback on this. So I liked the Cubs episode. Thank you.
Ding.
I love the Mulvey Family Variety Hour. That's the first time I've heard that.
I love it.
Really?
Oh yeah, that was a great episode. I still insist that you have a cousin. It wasn't your brother. I think it's one of your cousins who sounded exactly like when I listened. I'm like, why am I on this episode? I'm not in Chicago.
That must have been Charlie, I think. Feel free to trump on about Trump or whatever you like. And as a Patreon backer, I've already put my money where my mouth is.
Nice.
Thank you, Dean.
Nice.
Yeah, that Mulvey Family Variety Hour episode was... we were out of the pre-recorded material. I think we've only got one gritty reboot left to do. Or we're completely done. I don't know.
I think I said last or a couple weeks ago when we first like set this cast and I was like, okay, what are we going to do? And Becky suggested, hey, do a gritty reboot. And I went on the list and I'm like, I think they're all done, but I think somebody else has gone back and looked at those again. And it's like, no, there are two or three that we haven't hit.
Okay. Yeah, so I was out of gritty reboot material.
Oh, right. I guess I could do epistemology if we want.
Yeah,
to do that.
That's the one we got to do. Is we you and I have to do epistemology.
That also might be a too highfalutin for Trump's America. Epistemology is too far in the weeds.
It's too highfalutin for me. I don't even know what the word means. So that episode was literally. We were going to talk about religious stuff, but then it's my cousins, and we've had this manner of doing things for so long that microphones refuse to change. And I ended up talking about a social media dildo or something like that, and I don't quite respond. And the other thing I get is that I sounded very much like I was from where I was from in that episode, because I just spent 4 weeks.
All the accent came back.
All the accent came back. Yeah. So we recorded that episode. I produced it and I stayed up all night and then I immediately gotten on a plane and gone home. I literally did that episode the last day I was in Chicago.
Amazing.
And I got home and I went to the Swiss for post show because I was coming home on a Sunday. And I came, hey, how's everybody doing? And I was like, who the hell are you? What happened to your voice? I was getting so much crap for it.
So, I have a question about this email.
Uh-huh.
It says Dean from cyberspace and not the internet.
Yeah.
Does that mean we're getting an email from 1997?
Yeah, we're getting an email. Dean may, in fact, be Freakazoid.
All right.
Yeah. Isn't that where Freakazoid was from? He was from cyberspace, yeah?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like the only people I ever hear use the term cyber anymore is like government bills about the internet, and you know their language is always
cyber.
15 well, years behind the fact.
Donald Trump is people who cyber all the time. They're very good at cyber. They're very good.
Wait, I thought cyber was how you had sex with one another over AOL Instant Messenger.
I was hoping to ride that punchline for a little bit longer.
I'm sorry. That just sounded like something that would have happened, but you know, when I went to college. It was a long time ago, folks.
Do people still do that? Or is it all Tinder now?
Oh, God.
I don't know.
It's Tinder. It's okay. Got to be Tinder. Yeah. It's got to be whatever chat roulette or whatever it is where you just are just looking through various people masturbating.
I feel like all the people who did that now just write
chat roulette, dude. What's that?
I feel like all the people who did that now just write fan fiction. They don't need somebody else on the other end. They just write it all out.
This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. I have no idea where this segment went, but we'll actually try to do an Ask an Atheist when we get back.
Hello? Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the third Thursday meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
My name is Jonathan Ariola of TDTFPod. The more voices you hear, the more we observe and feel, the more we learn about the other facets of this complex and wondrous beast that is humanism and free thought. Join me on the science-loving journey through topics like justice, murder, family, diligence, taste, history, society, race, boob jobs, law, addiction, video games, fear, sacrifice, children. Wait, not sacrificing children, that's not what I meant. Bring the popcorn and watch me break down the issues too deep, too fast. Join me at TDTFPod. I'm Jonathan Ariola. Talk to you soon.
Has Ngatwe Trust invaded your town? Are you tired of government officials who want to plaster Ngatwe Trust on taxpayer-owned property? Are you afraid because your local sheriff placed an Ngatwe Trust decal on the patrol cars? We are here to help. The original motto project is for those who feel the separation of church and state is an important issue and should be honored regardless of your belief or lack thereof. Theists, non-theists, and all free thinkers are welcome. We need your support to show politicians that diversity exists within our nation, and their promotion of a monotheistic religion and push for theocracy will not be tolerated. Stand up and be heard. Join us at originalmotto.us.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And, you know, I just discovered there's a reason I wear my hair back when I'm in the studio. Because I took my headphones off to go get some more tea, and my entire head went with my headphones. Get wrapped around them.
I actually did have long hair way back in the day. I remember the struggles.
Yeah, I want to cut it. I really do.
Really?
Yeah.
Becky won't let you?
No. You know, we were working on the house, and I said, you know, I'm going to be wearing a respirator and some Tyvek, and I'm going to be all suited up, and that's really not conducive to having long hair. Something about cutting it short. And she's like, yeah, I guess you could cut it to your shoulders or something. And I was like, I was actually thinking about an inch long. And she started crying.
Well, you got all the cover in the world now that the next Thor movie has the Hemsworth cutting all of his beautiful hair.
I got enough of that noise when Nelson was a thing. I don't need any more of this.
Wait, Nelson wasn't the one who did Mbop, was it?
No, Nelson was Matt and Gunnar Nelson. Here Comes the Rain Again. Was that the big hit that they had?
What's the name of the kids who did Mbop? The annoying
Hansen.
Toehead Hansen Nelson Hansen, whatever Nelson Nelson
the Hansen Nelson Project. I don't know.
No, I'm telling you, go back, look up that video. You will see the most fantastic mullet on that drummer.
Oh, God.
Like straight out of the 80s. It's incredible.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a mullet anymore.
What is it? It's business in the front, party in the back. Sam Mulvey's all party. All party.
Netflix just released the trailer for their upcoming film about American Atheists founder Madeleine Murray O'Hare. The Most Hated Woman in America, named after a Time magazine cover story about O'Hare, is about the rise of controversial figure and eventual murder. The film stars Oscar winner Melissa Leo as O'Hare and other notable names, including Peter Fonda and Josh Lucas. The movie will be released on Netflix on March 24th.
Man, Netflix is really knocking it out of the park.
What's that?
Really knocking it out of the park in terms of releases that are amazing.
Really, oh, you talk about Netflix now?
Yeah, yes. It's great. It's great.
Madeleine Murray O'Hare isn't releasing anything right now.
She's not. Well, she's releasing Gas. So,
I think that phase is over already, actually.
It's a very
jokes about
story.
Dead people.
It's a very interesting story. It's kind of one of those, if you don't know, even if you are a theist, if you don't know who she is, you kind of need to. She's kind of like could be the candidate for the worst possible American enemy of theists. You know, like it's really notorious. She's very notorious.
Yeah, and she gets a bad rap even among atheists. Even among this specific atheist sometimes. But I'm looking forward to this. I think we have Netflix. I don't know.
I'm wondering, can we trust, like...
No.
Can we trust anyone to tell this story that won't somehow be, like, backhanded, offensive, like, reducing very complex points to very simple...
I think even if you tried to do the nicest... If you tried to cast O'Hare in the nicest light, there'd be no way you could do this as a... if it's a movie and not like a 15-episode miniseries or something like that, there'd be no way you could really give any depth to some of the arguments that O'Hare was having. Just because there's... we've been doing this for 7 years, and we still haven't bottomed out the nuance in some of the arguments that we've got. I mean, there are still aspects of Pascal's wager that we haven't covered.
Right.
And I have a button for it.
Yeah.
And so I don't think there's... I think there's going to have to be some editing and some trimming here and there in order to make it work. The question is, in the service of what? Like, what is she going to be doing, or how are they going to be doing it, and what?
I mean, this is... I feel like this follows along sort of a legacy of heady biopics with well-known, you know, well-known established actors.
Yeah.
One of them very recently was the You Don't Know Jack, which is where Al Pacino played Jack Kevorkian. On HBO, where they did, you know,
I've never even heard of that.
It's good. I mean, it's good. I was too young to really know much about it, except him by reputation as Dr. Death. This is sort of the same thing, where is a thing that would never work as an NBC movie of the, you know, Wednesday night movie of the week, because advertisers and conservative. But in a subscription-based service like an HBO or a Netflix or something, they don't have to be beholden. They can do, or like the Going Clear Scientology documentary, they can, you can have an audience, you can have producers that can go full bore and do something that would be risky, because they don't have to please anyone.
We've been to take this, I guess, out of the atheism conversation again, they've been doing a lot of good stuff on like Netflix and Amazon and stuff like that. I mean, it's sort of like a continuing age of this sort of thing, where they've been willing to take on subjects and that would not necessarily be TV subjects, I suppose.
Yeah, I have reason to suspect that, of course, these things are going to be simplified. But I was, when you were talking about that, I was thinking about Inherit the Wind,
right?
Which was a movie that was released in the '60s, so, and was about a subject that, of course, roils up all the rancor, this sort of religious rancor, political rancor, that is a touchy a ticklish subject for Americans. But even then, you can have the Spencer Tracy character be able to, just through sheer force of well-crafted dialogue, really nail in some zingers, you know.
Yeah.
If it's done well, if it's written well, and if it's executed well. So I will watch it, because
maybe,
I think the talent's good.
Maybe we need to figure out who worked on this and do an interview. That might be the way to go.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
A store manager of a Georgia grocery is receiving both praise and criticism for a display he and a Coca-Cola sales representative erected. Steve Logue and the representative erected three crosses out of soda cartons at the Dublin Food Depot. A patron and fan of the display posted a photo on Facebook, which subsequently received comments, likes, and media attention. One negative commenter wrote, "Pretty sure the big guy preferred wine over high fructose corn syrup." I don't know if you've seen
that's
this.
That's so America. That's America right
it's
there.
It's the most America thing that ever America. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
when you look at this a picture of this display, it's actually, they put some fine work into it. Like,
isn't it like a suspended?
Yeah, it's like a giant suspended cross, and it's got like...
Made out of 24 pack? Was it 24 packs or...
It was a 12-pack, the longer ones.
The soda shafts?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I've seen some great pixel art being done with the soda shafts.
Yeah.
They're good. They're
going to be pretty good. But yeah. It's weird. You've got one regular Coca-Cola with like two Coca-Cola Zero crucifixes. And
what is that saying about the other two, that you choose zero?
Yeah. It's an advertising display rife with imagery and really strong questions about, well, what the heck is going on at the Dublin Food Depot. But it's awesome. I mean, it's I I love it. I'd like to see more of this by weird people. I mean, weird outsider art in my grocery store.
I guess we can't determine now whether or not it was blasphemous. I'm guessing it was a little tongue in cheek. I'm guessing it's got to be tongue in cheek. Come on.
Why would it be? There's a McDonald's in the Vatican.
Oh.
Well, there isn't, but I mean, we've had this conversation.
Taking over the Maltese something or other. Let's bring back all these weird things we talk about.
That's just when you were saying that the crucifix is done in Coke Zero.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, because this has been in a B&I bonnet for a long time, and I don't think I've ever even shared it with you. I think that the bumper stickers on the billboards that have Jesus is blank on it is the perfect articulation for what Jesus Christ and Christianity are as a concept, which is write anything you want to.
Yeah.
And so in that to that extent, all I'm thinking of this is like it's just what anyone wants it to be, it is. And if it is high fructose corn syrup beverages with caffeine in them.
Well, it's like the author of
Temple knock you down.
It's like the author of Temple OS. He said, you get out of God what you put in. So, and if that's not an oblique reference, I don't know what is. But I love this. You can display, if it's your business and you own the business, you're allowed to display religious stuff.
Sure.
You know, you got the whole, and everybody's like, well, is that a thing? I mean, because what about the Arlene's Flowers thing? And no, this is a different situation. This is just religious displays in your personally owned business or privately owned business. And I think that's fine. There was a hot dog vendor in Phoenix, across the street from, I think, Phoenix General, that I rather liked when I lived in Phoenix, who was very Christian. It was all crucifixes and pictures of Jesus in the Cubs game. And so I went there, and I, you know, it was pretty good. And the only thing is, like, we started calling it Crucidog. I was really hoping that they would sell a dog, the hot dog, in the Chicago-style hot dog in the shape of a crucifix.
Oh, that would be great.
And that was
They could score two hot dogs and lay them across one.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, it would be great. You need custom buns, though.
There's a van that drives around town I think is fascinating. It's a business called Christ-Centered Cleaning.
Yeah, I saw that.
And
yeah.
The power of Christ compels you to be spotless.
And I look at that and I'm like, you know, I wonder how much business they do get with a name like that. Because I look at that and I immediately think, you are selling yourself as religious is more important than quality of work. Like, you put the religion up front, you think that will, it's like we say about Christian movies, you know?
Right.
The problem with Christian movies are they're bad movies.
Yeah.
They think the fact that they're Christian is enough to carry them. I worry about that for a business, so I would never go to this business.
Right.
It's not the fact that I disagree with
It's the same reason why
beliefs.
As when you see a panhandler who has one of their own cardboard self-crafted signs, almost all of them will have a God bless on the end.
Right.
Because you might as well throw it in there, right? Might as well do it.
I would just like to point out that the title I wrote for this particular email story is Soda Cross Maniacs. I usually don't talk about the titles in the show notes, but...
You had to remind me, and I feel ashamed that I did not. Motocross Maniacs for Game Boy.
Yeah, it was a launch title.
Yes.
And I just saw that. It's a Soda Cross. It's a Soda Cross. That guy is a Soda Cross maniac. And it's just sort of, I got to talk about this.
Is it mania or is it all for laughs? It's like a Key and Peele sketch.
I don't think this is all for laughs. I don't. I think, how long has consumerism been part and parcel of the American religious movement? I mean.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's like you were saying about how it means what you think it means. It is, you get out what you put into it.
Now, that was the Temple OS guy. That was on the
But one of my ongoing sort of points I make whenever I talk about, you know, people try and distance themselves from the most extremist forms of their religion, like the Westboro Baptist Church is an easy example. They take a very extreme view. The problem with the Westboro Baptist Church is not that they're wrong about how they're interpreting scripture. The problem is that scripture does support what they say.
Right.
It can literally mean whatever you want it to. And so this, I'm sure, would be incredibly offensive to a lot of people, but I could totally see a business owner like saying, no, this is my personal religious, you know, beliefs on display for everybody. You know, I'm really putting myself out. How could you mock this?
The other thing is that we are coming, approaching Easter. Are we not? I mean, is
we
it?
Are.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is the
about a month.
Which is the most commercialized? It's the time when crucifixes are commercialized the most.
Oh man, so, they've got the Reese's peanut butter cups that are in the shape of a little bunny.
Yeah,
so good, so good. They have more chocolate than normally.
Do they have? Choco fixes?
Choco, yes, they do.
Yeah. Do they have like Reese's Choco fixes?
Yes, they no, I don't think they do.
Okay, yeah. Because I've seen
I would like to eat the body of Christ.
Yeah. I have seen in lieu of a chocolate bunny, a chocolate crucifix, which I thought you know, the power of cacao compels you or something like that.
That's like the crazy people who do the Jesus ween instead of Halloween.
Jesus ween? Jesus
yeah.
Ween. Is that like a religious ween cover band?
I always thought it was like maybe their fifth album, yeah. You know, Jesus ween. But no, it's
push
like
the baby Jesus and make him come up.
Yeah, the reference to Baby Jesus is an entirely different song.
Yeah. Leave it alone. Yeah.
No, but yeah, it's just like, because anything Halloween must be evil, so we have to make it our own. So yeah, a Choc-a-fix would be awesome.
I got to get one of them.
Do you feel like the whole correlation between that was when we were children of Satanism and Hocus Pocus and Halloween and there being lots of wailing and gnashing of teeth about not participating in Halloween. Isn't that done now?
I don't think it is.
Is it done? I mean, I feel like it's done.
Well,
people's
I think
kids just want to dress up like Captain America.
No, you still have the evangelical movement in America, which still sees Harry Potter as witchcraft and therefore must be burned
as nonfiction.
You still have your Mike Wernicke devotees.
Oh,
you still have.
You just lit a nuclear bomb in my brain. And I needed to talk to you about this. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, the latest movie in the Harry Potter verse, is a period piece that takes place in the United States, I guess in the Depression or something like that, in the 20s.
Okay.
There is a movement of anti-wizard. It's basically like this social movement headed by a woman who employs orphans that are her quote children unquote to go out and spread the awareness of wizards so they can have a second Salem to kill all the witches and wizards. The thing that
this is a part of the movie. Let me know when this changes.
Here's the thing. They could never have the balls to say this, but in the continuity of the way this would really play out, it would be a Christian organization.
Oh, okay.
And it's not. I prefer the phrase
glandular fortitude, personally.
But, I mean, this is a sort of thing where in the Harry Potter world, I don't think there is Christianity.
Oh.
There couldn't be because that woman would be some kind of crazy evangelical.
Okay.
And it would be her religious crusade. Instead, it's just sort of a vaguely zealotous social crusade, I guess.
Fair enough.
Anyways.
A district court in Joplin, Missouri, has ruled that a school district must cease bringing students on field trips to a Christian ministry center. The Joplin School District had used Victory Ministry and Sports Complex on occasion for activity trips and abstinence-only sex education lessons. Mm-hmm. The ministry was found to display religious messages, and the school district required parents to sign permission slips allowing their children to be proselytized to. The American Humanist Association decided to bring suit after first writing a cease and desist letter, which the school district ignored. Not a lot of commentary on this one. Good on the AHA again.
Yeah.
Right.
But can we focus on the Victory Ministry and Sports Complex?
Right. Wait, when did this become a good idea? Like, at what point in the conversation of there is this place we want to take our public school kids that has Bible quotes on the wall and going to teach them about abstinence-only sex ed and all this, like... Where in that entire process was there no one say, dude, this is not,
yeah.
not how
So we're going to teach you about not to have sex, and then we're done. Everybody climb a rope. I've been to places like these before where they mix like religion and other stuff, and it's confusing as heck because they never mix particularly well.
Right.
A lot of the times it just looks like a tax dodge. Like I want to have soccer in my house, but I don't want to pay for it. I don't want to be taxed for it. I don't want to give booze to people for free. So we're religion now. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, what with this Planned Parenthood, sexual health, and auto repair? I mean, what? What would the non-religious version of this be?
I have no idea.
Why is it such a weird thing that religion just has to be piggybacked on other things?
Well, that's how religion does its thing.
No, I mean, it used to be that religion that your church would just be a thing that was a staple. It was part of everything, and then of course, sometime in the 20th century. The walls started tearing down and people cared about it a little bit less. So now it's got to be the Trojan horse. Like it's got to attach itself to other stuff like that.
That's precisely what it is.
It's desperation. To me, that seems like desperation. You're always going to have people who go to the same church because their family did and they
kids
have
like sports. So kids go there to play the sports that only exist in religious schools like lacrosse and dialy and sports.
Are you the most interesting man in the world? Like,
yeah, faceball, which is like football, but you're not allowed to use your hands or feet.
I thought you were going to say baseball. I thought you said Faceball 2000, which I don't know was that a Game Boy launch title as well?
No, I think that was a GBA launch title, but nobody saw it because nobody could see the screen. No. I don't know if you know this, but like Christian schools have their own sports. They don't have their own sports. They have sports that generally aren't played at other high schools. So it's like, if I want to see lacrosse, it's usually a Christian school.
Weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
Weird.
But it's like, kids like sports, so sports, also God. It's cheap conversion is what it is. And getting it into schools is precisely what they want. I can joke about how silly this sounds, but there is a logic there, and that is, it is this church-a-thon sports authority, is for proselytization. It's for conversion of children.
Yeah.
It's to control the minds of kids.
I'm the only parent here sitting on the show. All I can say about that is you're a good parent. Let your kid make their own decisions. Come on now.
This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And go to a break. When we come back, we'll talk about therapy.
Hours. 24 hours. 10 minutes to go.
The motorcade appears to have stopped, and yes, it appears as though the governor is getting out now. It's hard to see. My God, the rain is coming down in sheets. I've never seen anything like this. There must be tens of thousands of people out here right now. The streets are shut down. Okay, it appears the governor is making his way toward the convention center. No one knows what he's going to say. The crowd is pushing forward through the storm. The Secret Service is struggling to hold them back. A wave of people are rushing toward the candidate. My God.
Zero. For your consideration, we present Convention and its subject, the nominee, ANNEX Radio.com, now on iTunes and Stitcher.
Allegedly, soccer is a beautiful game.
It is when you know what's going on.
That's the problem. MLS is 20 years old, and people are still shocked to hear that there's an American Soccer League.
That's why you and I are talking about it. This is a discussion of American soccer for nerds and beginners. It's a good first step if a crippling soccer addiction is something that's missing from your life.
Join the club. Celebrate the 20th anniversary of MLS by actually following the season.
Hands-free football. New episodes every week at handsfreefootball.com.
I want to bring it back, but it's more than basic.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842.
I'm sorry that I get all parent on you at the end there.
No.
I'm shoving my parent agenda in your face.
I thought that was a good break point. I did.
Okay,
and so did the clock. it worked out pretty well. A man considered the father of gay conversion therapy died of complications from the flu. Joseph Nicolosi was a psychologist who was convinced that homosexuality was a choice and could be changed with a series of bizarre and harmful treatments. Nicolosi founded the National Association for Research and Therapy of Homosexuality, or NARTH, in the early 90s, and insisted on the effectiveness of gay conversion therapy despite any evidence to the contrary. His office, the Thomas Aquinas Psychological Institute, continues his work despite the debunked therapy being banned in 5 states and numerous cities around the nation.
Yeah.
I always have this moment when it comes to someone who's died, and like, I honestly think the world's a better off place without them, but at the same time, there is a real human being on the other end of that, that who had a family, who was grieving and who was upset. And the thought I finally came down to is that I wish that he was not dead. I wish he was alive and with his family. I wish his ideas had died, and I wish they had died a long time ago, because the world would be a much better place with him in it and his ideas.
How many suicides is this guy ultimately responsible for?
Countless. This is a guy with a huge death toll.
I'm glad he's dead. I'm surprised he didn't kill himself.
I feel like gay conversion therapy as a thing will exist on the fringes of this still crazy part. This latent homosexual part of conservative culture that is clearly in a schizophrenic relationship with their own identity.
Yeah.
This is obviously going to keep happening until we get less religious, or more people start to meet people who are gay and become friends with them and understand that it's not a big deal. I also think that to a certain extent, there's always going to be tension between heterosexuality and homosexuality by small-minded people. That's always going to be there. However, nationally, we've moved on. I feel like the topics the topics about sexuality that I think I'm going to have to be addressing with my children, mm-hmm. are going to be the challenging parts for me. Are going to be around transgender. Are going to be around people who, because of their innate qualities, are going to have a crisis of their perceived gender and their actual gender, and that's so much more confusing to understand than just a person who is, I'm a man, I've got male genitalia, and I think other men are attractive, and I want to be with them. Argument is over. I think our argument about that is done.
Right, and the challenge is that we don't really have we don't have well-developed tools for having this conversation.
We don't have language for
it. Well, and I mean you and me specifically, like professionals and people who work on these sorts of things from a developmental perspective might have tools for us, but
yeah.
We're not fully cognizant of them. But I think we need to talk about homosexuality in the context of psychology anyway. I mean, was it the DSM-2 or DSM-3 that had it listed as a disease?
Yeah.
Which two.
It was two. Okay, so they removed it in three. We're on the five.
Right.
Finally. That only took forever.
I believe, wasn't the two like 64 pages and five is like 800-some?
Something like that, yeah. And then, I mean, four had the TR, et cetera. Whatever. You know, this Nicolosi was following when he may have started on this. He was following, let's not lie to ourselves, he was following not a ultra conservative movement, but what may have been considered a central concept within psychology at the time. The science changed, the research changed. I think it should be a clue that if your patients start killing themselves, that maybe you're not on the right track as a psychologist. I want to feel for people. I want to say I'm never going to be happy about somebody dying because I think death is stupid. I've had this conversation. But the fact of the matter is this guy is not just responsible for getting the ball rolling, but he did this himself. Right. I have seen with my own eyes and felt with my own heart the damage that this guy has caused with his stupid ideas that he wouldn't let go after research and understanding and, you know, facts started putting the lie to what this guy was thinking, what this guy was trying to do. And when he couldn't find mainstream acceptance of his ideas, he went, you go to the evangelicals who love stoning gay people.
We get that racist money.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah. There's a quote here from his wife, but I don't really feel like reading it.
Because the important part of is that he never let political correctness get in the way, right?
Right.
So it's automatically entrenched in this sort of cultural battle where there's political correctness, which is, I don't know, any attempt for us to try to to try to realign our sensibilities of who we are and how to make a stable society.
Yeah,
like that's signaling right
but
there.
But this is one of those things where if somebody's personal morality doesn't allow them to feel happy about the ending of somebody, and I think that might be you, Dave.
Yes,
I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to try and change your mind on that. Because that's you, and I can see your point. It feels a little, you know, am I going to throw a party that he's dead? No. Do I think it's difficult to say. It's not a sense of victory that I would say. I'm not going to jump up and down on his grave, mm-hmm. or anything like that. It's more a sense of relief. But only a certain kind of relief, because ideas outlive people.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
Well, and the reason the quote from his wife is there for a specific reason, which is I wanted to address the idea that we have this idea that being uncompromising is somehow a virtue.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that. Everyone thinks they're Galileo. Everyone,
if you'd like to read it, go right ahead. Okay. I don't really feel like it.
The quote is, Joe was certainly a larger-than-life, one-of-a-kind guy. Never worried about the political correctness. He was happy to swim against the cultural tide when he was sure the culture was going in the wrong direction. And this is like trying to set him up as like the one lone voice being shouted down but refuses to give in on his, you know, on his beliefs and on his convictions. It's a Galileo thing. Everyone wants to think they're Galileo.
Right.
The thing about Galileo is that he had the evidence on his side.
Right.
Okay. Every time I see one of these situations, I get so angry about like, he is uncompromising. I'm like, well, he's uncompromising about being wrong.
Right.
He's uncompromising about being an idiot.
We're all talking about two different domains too, but when you're talking about the messy abyss that is the makeup of the human animal, mm-hmm. like it's a different field of study. Psychology, right. is a different field of study from cosmology,
right?
And psychology has the effect of, yes, I guess some people could be wrong about the ways the gravity is and physics are, but when it comes to, you're right, people hanging themselves because of the consequences of that, it's that you don't get to be the stalwart hero of science. That's not what this is.
Right.
This is a culture warrior.
Yeah.
To borrow a term from a Fox News correspondent.
We see the same crap in the people who are defending Dr. Wakefield.
Yeah, I was about to bring up Andrew Wakefield.
And the vaccine thing. It's like he's standing for his convictions, even though... No, he's standing up for the wrong thing, because what he's done has been proven wrong.
Yeah.
Unequivocally.
Outcomes.
But to go back to what I said, is it's kind of an interesting thing where... a situation I face where just because I disagree, people think I'm going to change their minds. But I actually have a lot of respect for people who don't want to speak ill of the dead. I just don't necessarily agree. And this guy's gone, and I think that's a good thing. You know, am I happy that his family is experiencing sorrow? No, I don't want anybody to. Nobody should... If I had my way, nobody would experience sorrow from the loss of a person, and this planet would be totally populated, and then we would all die. But
all at the same time, so no one has to experience the sorrow.
Right, right. So we all live in this undying hell world where the bodies are piled 13 or 14 feet deep.
I want to sign up for what you're doing, Sam.
I'm just sunshine and light, aren't I?
Count me in.
But that's entirely it. Is I can't acknowledge the sorrow and pain of his family without acknowledging the much greater sorrow and pain he caused when he was alive.
Yeah,
right.
And that's the problem. But I think there's one important thing that we're forgetting here. Having the flu and dying is a choice. If he just got the right kind of therapy, and if he was just told the right things, and if he lived a truly godly life, he could defeat this, and he could change the way he views himself, and he could have the right kind of relationships between corpses and people.
So the question is, Joseph, have you tried not being dead?
Yeah. He just needs... He just needs thanatoic conversion therapy. That's all he needs. And he could defeat this flu. It'd be fine. You got to focus on the right things. You got to keep in mind that you have to breathe. Come on, keep breathing. Why did you stop? That's your problem. It's not an innate thing about you that you're now decaying and turning into fertilizer.
That's true. That's true. I don't know. You're drifting into some very meridian eastern medicine bits. So I think you're a little far afield here.
Am I?
Your body can heal itself. Kwai Chen Kang, Kung Fu, the man who walked the earth, solving
problems.
No.
It's being dead is a choice. He's made a choice.
Yeah.
And all he has to do is focus on not being dead, to live the kind of death that he wants to live, and then he can have the happy lifestyle that he wants.
That he deserves.
Yes.
Yeah, all he has to do is focus on breathing, focus on not decaying, just think, visualize the non-popsicle that you see yourself as, and it'll be fine.
Bravo. Bravo.
Where am I?
Sam just had an episode.
Jeez.
Can we go back to Soda Cross Maniacs?
Yes, we can go back to... Okay, because the next story I have is really sad, and we've only got 4 minutes left.
Do it. No, go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, what about Soda Cross Maniacs? I'm actually curious.
I just like the idea of talking about Game Boy games.
Oh.
Just say the new Analog NT. They have, you can have a Game Boy emulator, GBA and Game Boy emulator.
An Analog NT. What's that?
That's the. We don't want to talk about this.
The $700 million Game Boy emulator.
It's the hardware based Nintendo NES emulator.
Yeah,
NES hardware. Anyways.
At this, somebody's got to go to a fab and just make these chips.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, it's the patents are expired. They're simple enough that you could... I mean, are they even TTL chips? What are they? CMOS?
No, they're not CMOS. I'm not sure.
Okay.
When the NES was around, that was when they were still making Christian games out of license.
I have several of them.
They don't do that much anymore. Probably have some... They have some mobile Jesus games.
I've got the
Left
Behind RTS around here somewhere. Yeah. Anyway.
They don't do that very much anymore. You know what? As you were saying, Christian movies are crap, and they just rely on the fact that they're about Christianity. There has not been a Christian video game that has moved the needle. There's been no Passion of the Christ in the video game medium.
Yeah.
And I don't think there ever will be. Doom will reign! That was a mic drop.
I guess it was. This is Ask an Atheist. Our phone number is 844-753-7842. You can email us at questions@askanatheist.tv. You can Twitter us at AskAnAtheistWA. We are on Facebook. Our website is AskAnAtheist.tv. You search Ask an Atheist or Sam Olvey, you're going to find it. This show went in a direction I certainly wasn't expecting. Kind of stayed positive. Maybe except for that dead thing at the end. I don't know. I kind of enjoyed that. See you next week.